welcome back. It is Beamer in for Bowerly this week on News Radio 930 WBEN. Sorry about the voice. I'll have it back tomorrow. I'm drinking tea. I think the voice is better now than it was at 2. I apologize. And I know that it was a immature of me to lose my voice when I knew I was going to host for a week. So I'm sorry about that. I hope you can forgive me. If not, I'll win your respect back. 8030930. I did not think this was going to blow up into a topic. I really didn't. I was telling Tanner that during the last break. I kind of just was surprised by someone's reaction when I said that I drank. That I drank hotel tap water on Saturday in my big water bottle. And I was just so surprised by that reaction that I mentioned it. And now we've got a hotel topic. 8030930 star 930. Also talking bed bugs. Terry in Texas, good to hear from you.
Good to hear from you, Joe. Yeah, don't drink the hotel tap water. But then again, you absorb some when you take a shower or brush your teeth. So I guess what difference does it make? But if you got a choice, bottled water is the way to go. Anyway, I just want to talk about those demons, the devil, bed bugs. Those things are vicious. So like a couple years ago, I had my father-in-law. Well, my father-in-law still lives with me because I'm a borderline saint at this point. But he used to hang out, you know, wherever he hung out, and we assumed that it was him that brought him home from this person's house. And it started, like, little by little, my wife complaining. She was being...
Terry, you there?
Saying she would just... Uh-oh.
Yeah, we lost you. Start from the beginning. Oh, we lost him. Terry, give us a call back. 803-0930-star-930. Let's go to Tom in Dunkirk talking about a hotel in Dunkirk. Tom, what do you got for us?
Hi there. How you doing?
Doing all right, Tom.
All right. Well, I wanted to mention that me and my wife, we had to stay in the Dunkirk area for 2 days, and there was no other hotels that had rooms, so that's why we got stuck at the Clarion for 2 days at the Clarion Motel there. And the thing that troubled us about the hotel was the very first night we were there, the gentleman up above us had somehow his water pipe on his sink broke, and the water came flooding down through by our doorway and that onto our hall floor inside the room. Oh, I call maintenance, and maintenance come up there with the vacuum and everything. They cut the water turned off, and they're vacuuming up the water. And my wife and me are getting ready to go out for dinner, so I'm coming out of the room. And I see the maintenance guy there, and the wallpaper right by my door had lifted up. And so I told him, I says, oh, the wallpaper even lifted up. And he said, yeah, it happens every time. I said, oh, this happened before. He goes, yeah, every now and then. And so I'm watching him, and he's spraying bleach on to the wall. And I realized why, because there's black mold going from the baseboard up to about 4 feet high. And he wipes it off, and so I said, well, that's pretty bad. He said, yeah, it happens. And the other thing was, too, our room smelled musty, and we had called down, and the girl came up from the front desk and turned on the air conditioner and said, yeah, they smell musty. If they haven't been used in a while, that'll take care of it. So I said, all right, well, we're stuck there for 2 days, you know, because, like I say, we couldn't find another room. But as I'm watching this guy with this black mold by the door, I watch him, and he puts his glue on it, and there's still black mold there, and he pushes the wallpaper down, and he holds it for a second, and then wipes it with the rag, and then leaves. And I notice the smell from this glue coming into my room, and I notice a couple other people come out and said, yeah, what's that smell? It's a glue he used. And it was just all filthy like that. And we changed our sheet on our bed after that first night just so we could feel better about a clean sheet. And the thing was, when we took the sheet off, the mattress was stained, too.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, just problem after problem.
It's just a filthy motel there. And I'll tell you what, ever since that, I will not go near that hotel no more.
All right. Tom, I mean, mold is, I think, concerning to anybody. Appreciate the call. 803-0930. *930 is the number to get on if you want to talk with me, if you have a story about that. You know, mold, I think, mold, bed bugs, anything like that, you just got to get up and walk away, right? I mean, I guess you can say, I'll go to another room. But, you know, I think of going to another room. An example of that, we were at a hotel in Miami, and the AC was dripping, right? The AC was dripping. Okay, put us in another room. But if you've got problems that could be in more than one room, get what I'm saying? I don't know. Maybe you just cut your losses and find another place, because mold is concerning. Bed bugs, as Brad said, every place has probably had their issue with bed bugs, but you just don't want to get that with you. You don't want to take it home with you. Oof. Let's go to Diana in Lewiston. Diana, what's your story?
Hi, Joe. I couldn't help but call in. I'm going to say it was about 6 years ago. We were in Rochester for my son's hockey tournament, and we spent we got this whatever it was. I think it was like a Comfort Inn or a Days Inn, one of those types of hotels. And from the moment we got there, you know, usually they're really strict. They don't let the kids like play knee hockey in the hallways. Like, this place could have cared less. It was like all, you know, all bets were off. Everybody was just like partying in the hallways. The kids were, the whole place reeked of pot. People were like not part of our group, but we could smell like thick clouds of weed as soon as we got up to our floor. And it was just, that was the first thing. Then we all let the kids start playing knee hockey in the hallway. There was like no enforcement. It was just craziness. And some of the adults were pulling up the chairs. You know, they leave you a chair in your hotel room, like it's a fabric chair, yeah, whatever. Some of the parents were just like pulling the chairs up to the doorway because everybody was sort of like socializing in the hallway. And I kid you not, a heroin packet dropped from the bottom of the chair when we were pulling it to the hallway.
Oh, geez.
And we were in shock. We're like, what the heck? And so like the other families checked under their chairs, and some other people found heroin packets. Like, it was like, and I don't know if it was an inside job and they just kept the drugs and then people paid for it. I have no clue, but it was horrific. And we had a bunch of like, I'm going to say they were 11 or 12, the boys were at the time. And we didn't really have a choice. Like, we had another hockey game that night and we had to stay there. And someone had talked to the hotel manager to tell them. But the next day, I think after we checked out, you know, someone had called the police to let them know. But yeah, that was super creepy. It was really gross to stay there after that. I kept looking for like anything that you know, could have been like a needle or a drug, or it was just it was disgusting. I don't know how we stayed there another night.
Now, the heroin packet, was it in the chair or under the chair?
It was like fastened under the chair. So when you grabbed the chair, like to drag it, to move it, you know, our hand hit it and it like fell to the ground, and we're like, what the heck is that? And somebody, one of the coaches or whoever it was like, that looks like a heroin packet. And I'm like, oh my God. And we like, not that I'm an expert on heroin or what it looks like, but you know, they opened it and it was a consensus. It was obviously, you know, looked like heroin. It was in a little packet, and it was just the creepiest thing I've ever encountered in a hotel.
So it was like it was put there for someone.
Yeah, it was like it was an inside, almost like if I had to guess, because they found them in other rooms, like maybe it was, you know, a job where a worker did it for, I have no idea. It was just the most bizarre thing.
That is super concerning. Hey, Diana, appreciate the call. Diana in Lewiston, 803-0930. *930 gets you on the show. I have not heard that one before. Heroin packets fastened to the bottom of the chair. That's another thing. It's just, what else am I going to find in this room, right? 803-0930, *930 is the number to get on. Beamer in for Bowerly here on News Radio 930 WBEN, talking, well, we started with how do you prepare the room to stay in when you go to a hotel, right? Do you have any precautions you take? Do you wipe off everything? Do you put towels over the bathroom floor? Yada, yada. We were doing that. And then it turned into hotel horror stories, which is always a fun topic to revisit, and bed bug stories. Terry in Texas is back with us. Terry, you have a bed bug story?
Yeah, so as I was saying, bed bugs suck and almost became a reason for divorce for me. My father-in-law had brought them back to our house. It started real, real small. My wife would get, like, phantom bites, just, like, sitting on the couch or when she'd wake up in the morning. I mean, we checked high and low, couldn't find anything. I ended up just, you know, kind of chalking it up to her being crazy or something. Because it happened for so long that we just couldn't identify what the problem was. And then eventually we found one, I forget where, and, you know, we Googled it and looked, and we were like, there's no way. How could we end up with bed bugs? I mean, we're really clean people. I stay on that just because I'm OCD, you know. So I did my time sleeping outside with bugs in the military. I don't want to sleep with bugs in the house, let alone bed bugs. So I have no experience with these things whatsoever. Overnight, it seemed like they just took over the house. They went from my father-in-law's bedroom to my stepdaughter's, eventually to the living room, in the furniture, and ultimately, after about 8 to 10 months, they made it to our bedroom. Now, mind you, we're not just sitting stagnant while this is going on. I purchased every product under the sun and used it in my house. I was walking in my house like the dude from Arachnophobia with the suit on and everything, spraying all kinds of chemicals. They go away for a little bit, hiring you know, people to clean the upholstery and steam it, all that. Pest control companies, you name it, we did it. We were at our wit's end. I was going crazy. I didn't know what to do. And it ended up, you know, we were still battling it prior to about a year and a half. We had been battling it for about a year. It took us, when we finally closed on our house, our home, we threw out everything. I mean, everything. We threw out all the furniture, got rid of all my father-in-law's stuff. We kept nothing that we couldn't replace, you know what I mean? And that was obvious, that didn't have any kind of egg or anything, because you can't kill the damn things. They're, like, resistant to everything, it seems like. And so, happy to report, about a year and 10 months later, or excuse me, a year and a couple of months later, at the new house, we haven't seen one. Nobody gets bitten by anything. So apparently it took getting rid of all of our worldly possessions and moving from the entire location where these bugs existed into a new place to get rid of them. And who knows what's going on at that house now. I hope to God that the people aren't having to deal with it, whoever moved in there. But that was a mess. Oh, horrible.
Wow. What a mess. So it's one of those things where just a couple get in and it can turn into ?
Well, what really messed it up to make it even worse was my father-in-law. He's kind of a private guy. He hangs out in his room, watches his shows, comes out to eat, and then he goes back and kicks it. Well, they were just in there just breeding, and he didn't say anything. We think we pinpointed to an electrical outlet near where his bed was. I'm telling you, when we took out his frame of his bed, it was outrageous, and we couldn't even understand how he didn't say anything or find it to be a problem. And, you know, he's older, so I chalk it up to the game, I guess, you know what I mean? I wasn't too mad at him, but there was a grudge for a long time, because it was like, there's nothing you can do about it. You think you get rid of them, and then you wake up and you got 72 bites on the side of your shoulder or something, because they're ninjas. They're little vampire ninjas that refuse to die. They're like Blade or something, but microscopic.
Well, Terry, I do like how you meshed my two topics together. It's a great...
See, I did that?
Yeah, going from the bed bugs to the divorce topic. See, Terry, this radio thing, you're really catching on.
I'm trying, man. I'm listening to the best of the best. You, David, Tom, and whoever else is on, I'm taking it all in, man. I'm just trying to be the best version of myself that I could be.
Take the notes from David and Tom. Don't take too many from me, Terry. So,
Fair enough.
Hey, man, good hearing.
Thanks for listening. I just wanted to share that, because it does happen to everybody, man. You know what I mean? It happened to me, and I just was like, what? You know what I mean? So nobody else wanted to jump out there. I heard you mentioning Jada Pinkett Smith. I thought bed bugs was a way better topic, so I chimed in before you could continue on with her. All right, y'all be good. I appreciate it, man.
Terry, Terry, appreciate it. Go Bills. Hope to hear from you again this week as I fill in for Bowerly. It's Beamer in for Bowerly, and we'll continue taking calls on this, obviously. We'll continue taking calls on the Bills. If there's someone out there who left the game early that wants to give me their excuse of why they left the game early, that topic's still open. And I'm hoping before 6 o'clock we get that person to call in. I'm not trying to pick on you. I want to know the reasoning. The game is not over. It has not concluded. You missed the best part of the game, the ending. 803-0930. I'm still waiting for that phone call. But like I said, anything we talked about, you can call in on. And when we come back, yes, I want to get into on reasons for divorce. The Jada Smith interview about Will Smith and their separation. And then saying, I just couldn't bring myself to divorce, is what she said. Well, what is the reason then? You know, half of marriages end in divorce. What is a reason for divorce? 803-0930, star 930. Beamer in for Bowerly back after this.
Read the news online at WBEN.com.
This reminds me of an album I bought when I was a kid. The William Hung album. I don't know, Tanner, if you remember who William Hung was. He was, look up William Hung, She Bangs, and play me the song that you get when you look that up. So he was a contestant on American Idol, and he was not the best singer. But, you know, that's when American Idol was at its peak. And so William Hung came out with a cover album of him singing. And I had that car playing in my 98 Altima for months. Now, he auditioned for American Idol with She Bangs. That was the song that he went on American Idol with. And that was his most popular cover. That's how the album started, right here.
Tell me your name. You blow me off like it's all the same. You lit it fierce and I'm taking away like a bomb. Yeah, baby.
Yeah, I had that album. He also did a follow-up Christmas album. However, Hotel California was one of the songs that he covered on his debut album that I got. I believe that was before Media Play closed. I think I got the William Hung album at Media Play before they closed. If not, it was FYE. But you playing that reminded me of the William Hung album. 803-0930, star 930 is the number to get on. Again, I apologize for the voice. I've got tea here. I've got cough drops. I've got everything. I've got water. Not the hotel tap water. Don't worry. I've already drank all that. This is the filtered water they offer us here at the station. So we're good to go. We're getting the voice better. Again, I apologize. I realize it was very immature of me to scream at two football games knowing I'm filling in this week. But we'll have it back tomorrow. I promise you that. Okay. So the Jada Smith and Will Smith fiasco. Again, no one asked. No one asked to be let into their personal life, right? Obviously, it was back in the headlines after the Will Smith slap at the Oscars. But now Jada Smith has her book coming out, and in her book she reveals that her and Will have been separated since 2016. And she says that they have been separated, but she has not been able to bring herself to get a divorce. Okay. Again, that's their issue. I think the person that should be the most upset about this interview is Will Smith. Like, really, you had to put that in your book? You know, I mean, can we work our own stuff out behind the scenes? Again, I mean, he did slap Chris Rock for saying something about Jada Smith. So maybe they both have that complaint. I'm just saying, can we have that behind closed doors? But But it does bring up the question, what is a reason to file for divorce? With 50% of marriages ending in divorce in this country, I mean, can you make the argument that some people just rush to divorce, that we've made it too easy? I don't know. I've not been in a situation where I've felt, man, I've got to file for a divorce. But if the odds are 50%, I'm guessing there are people in this audience who have filed for divorce or at least considered filing for divorce. What, in your opinion, is a good reason for divorce? What made you either get a divorce, consider a divorce, or do you have that list of things that would automatically result in a divorce, right? Like for me, if Virginia Tech gets into the national championship and my wife says I can't go, no, I'm kidding. That's a joke, guys. That's a joke. It's a radio show. I'm trying to be entertaining. But we all have those things that are no-nos, right? What is on that list if you've made that list? Now, some interesting statistics, and you know me, I like to go look up the statistics. The divorce rate per marriage, and I do find this interesting because I know people who are so much happier in their second marriage, right? Like they've gotten a divorce and they've remarried and you can just tell they are happier than they ever were in their first marriage. I mean, let's be honest, there are people who rushed into their first marriage, right? They were young, you know, they had that feeling of love that you have early on in a relationship, like Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce. And you've got people who rushed into marriage. You've got people who looked at their age and said, my gosh, I'm so-and-so and I'm not married yet. So they married the next person they met. I think that does play into it. I think people feel at a certain age, if they're not married, they have to rush. It must be this person. This person must be the one I'm supposed to marry because that's who I'm dating at this particular age. Obviously, I think more times than not, you learn rushing into it's never the right thing. I'm sure there's success stories. But first marriages, 42% of those end in divorce. Second marriages, 60% end in divorce. Third marriages, 73% end in divorce. Now, I thought this was interesting. The average age of your first divorce, 30. So the average person going through their first divorce is 30. Well, I beat the odds, Tanner, because I didn't get married until I was 33. So I've beaten the odds. I will not get divorced at 30, nor was I married at 30. I did get dumped at 30, though. So that's something. Years before remarriage, 3. And in the United States, a divorce happens every 100 hours, believe it or not. Now, reasons for divorce, and that is the question at 803-0930, star 930. What is a reason to file for divorce? Because it's not the easiest thing, right? I mean, we've played spots here on the station about divorce. It's not the easiest thing. We're talking about lawyers and court and legal documents. And if you have children, that files things into it, and payments, and it sounds exhausting. And a lot, you know, and there are people who are getting divorced because the arguments were exhausting. Like, oh my gosh, I got out of this because it was so exhausting. Now I've got all this this legal work. So it's not like it's an easy process, right? That's one of the beauties of not being married, is if you and your significant other start seeing things differently or not seeing eye to eye. Again, these are things you're supposed to work out before you get married. I do also think, and I don't mean to be offensive to anyone. Again, this is an opinion from someone who's not gone through a divorce, right? So I could be completely wrong here. But I do think you have some people that think marriage is going to just be easy, right? The how you felt on your honeymoon is how you're going to feel every day of your life for the rest of your life. I mean, that's just not real life. I mean, I would say I am probably one of the most positive people out there. Don't laugh. I honestly mean that. I think I'm very, but we all have bad days, right? We all have bad days. we all have disagreements. I mean, if you had a roommate in college, you probably had an argument with that person, right? It's just human nature. We're not going to always agree. And there are going to be days where just a disagreement hits us the wrong way. So like this thought that marriage is supposed to, again, I'm not one of these people that thinks marriage is difficult. And oh, it's going to take both of us working together. Having a child is difficult, okay? Having a child is difficult. So far, it's very rewarding, but it's difficult. And I'm telling you this as someone who's got no sleep. But marriage, it's just part of life, right? You're going to have disagreements. You're going to have days where you might not want to say too much to each other. You know what I mean? And I think some people, the day it stops feeling like the honeymoon, they're already looking up reasons to divorce. I'm not saying that's a high number of people, but those people exist, right? Wait a minute. This isn't what I signed up for. You know, the first hardship, the first difficult financial situation, you have people that will run, you know, oh, I'm calling an attorney. Again, if you want a life where you're going to have everything's in your control and nothing, you know, there's going to be no disagreements, well, then live by yourself in a studio apartment. That might be the best. And don't get me wrong, there are people. This again, people might get upset for me saying this. There are people who are just best being single. There are, I honestly believe there are people who are just not meant to get married, right? I, for a while, thought that might be me. I could be selfish at times. I like to write my own schedule. Luckily, my wife lets me do a lot of writing my own schedule, so I'm very fortunate there. But there was a time where I thought, yeah, maybe I'm just better living in this studio apartment on Main Street in Williamsville, living by myself. Maybe this is as good as it gets. And we'll see. 10 years from now, maybe I'm laughing at this show because I'm back in that studio apartment. I'm kidding. Of course. 803-0930, star 930. So your thoughts on divorce, on reasons to divorce, and if you've been through a divorce, walk us through that process. And these statistics, 60% of second marriages end in divorce, 73% of third marriages end in divorce. Again, those are just statistics. Those are just numbers. I know people who have never been happier than they are in their second marriage, right? Their first marriage, they were just two people that didn't see eye to eye. Maybe they rushed into it. Maybe it just fell apart. But they're happier than ever been in their second marriage. So those statistics, again, I mean, that if I got divorced and met somebody and wanted to get married again, yeah, I'd look at that 60% and go, am I going to be one of the 40% or one of the 60%? Average age of divorce, 30, waiting 3 years before remarriage. Again, 100 hours, a divorce every 100 hours here in the United States of America. And, you know, not that I want to push people to divorce, but there might be someone out there that is struggling in the relationship they're in now. And maybe there's someone out there that can tell them how to approach the situation. You know, maybe someone out there is in a relationship that there is just no hope in saving. Maybe it's a relationship where they don't feel they can go home. How do you approach that? Maybe there's someone out there that can give that information at 803-0930, star 930. I would say that would be a problem if you hate going home. And we've heard this before from people. If you hate going home because you can't stand being around your significant other, okay, maybe then you need to at least have a conversation. And I think, especially with millennials, people my age, I think that plays into a lot of relationship issues. We don't know how to talk to one another. We're too used to talking to people not face-to-face, right? We've been talking via text since before text messages. Joe, what do you mean? Well, growing up, we would go on AOL and talk on AOL Instant Messenger all night. So for a while, we've been talking just text, and we don't want to say the difficult stuff face-to-face. And I think that probably leads to a lot of divorces, again, especially with millennials, not wanting to have that face-to-face conversation. I know I say that as I use that as a lot of excuse for issues with millennials, and I believe it. As a millennial, I believe it. 803-0930, star 930. Hey, thank you so much. It's Beamer in for Bowerly. I probably should tell you what I'm thankful for. Thank you so much for listening to us today and making us a part of your Monday, Victory Monday. Really, really enlightening stuff here on the text board at 803-0930. Gross! Exclamation point. Can't listen to you swallowing your phlegm every minute. You really shouldn't be on the air. So we're off to a good start here, approaching the final hour. Another text. I was 23. She was 20. I caught her having an affair. I gave her a second chance. And a week later, I caught her with a different guy. Our marriage only lasted 15 months total. Now, see, I hope this texter's still listening, because that has to be completely emotionally draining. Right? This is someone that you obviously loved, you married, you loved so much you gave them another chance after catching them having an affair, and then less than a week later, you catch them having an affair with another person. That's got to be just, I mean, we've all been there too, right? I mean, Brad Paisley has that line in his song Letters to Me, you know, when you break up after 7 months, I know you really liked her, and I know it doesn't seem fair, but all I can say is a pain like that is, well, whatever. The point is, you know, how you feel when you go through your first breakup, right? Your high school breakup, you're madly in love with this person, or you think you're madly in love with this person in high school, and they break up with you, right? And then, you know, you're still reeling over this, and a week later you see them in the cafeteria with someone else. Now, that's on a much lesser scale than someone that you've married and back-to-back caught them having an affair. I can't imagine that emotional draining, how difficult it would be to start dating again and even consider marriage again. That had to be a difficult process. 803-0930, star 930. That gets you on the air. Again, divorce. What are the reasons for it? And maybe, again, I'm not here to judge, but have you heard of someone getting a divorce and then heard their reasonings and thought, maybe someone like that should never have gotten married? You know, again, marriage, it is a commitment. And, you know, every now and then you're going to have some curveballs. I don't mean an affair. I mean, you know, there's going to be difficult days, all right? Especially when you throw kids into it. There's going to be difficult days. There's going to be compromising that has to happen. The problem is, I think some people, they just love their world and they think, I'm going to get married and do exactly what I want to do all day, every day. Again, I'm very, very fortunate that my wife, after we got married, after we have a kid, is still, if she's not cool with it, she puts a great act on, still cool with me going to Tech games, going to Bills games, right? Going out and seeing people. And again, I want and encourage her to do whatever she wants to do and hang out with her friends and see people as well. And by see people, I mean meet up with friends. I don't mean see other people. I just want to make sure that we are clear about what I mean when I say see people. But again, that's stuff that you actually have to discuss and talk about. And you would think these are conversations you have before you even get engaged, let alone married. But again, I just feel that communication is suffering. And this is another example of communication suffering and just the inability to have a conversation. Again, what might be a difficult conversation with the person you married? 803-0930, star 930. Divorce. What are the reasons for it here on WBEN?